This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Wire, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Put the fire!
Let's see what the Mountain Oregon says. With the sign of red, Jeff Passan is here with his child. Maybe. That would have been good. That's a good text. 206 says, Rich Newton Mast boy's daddy paid off Mora. That's true. That's how Mora's on her vacation right now. How do you think she could afford to get there? You know my dad constantly paying people off to help me. My dad would have paid somebody to take my leg out, Tonya Harding style, rather than pay somebody to lose to me. Are you kidding me? Have you not heard my dad when he's on this show? He takes gratuitous shots whenever he can. So, sorry, I don't buy that. What are the Kraken going to do? So they fire their head coach yesterday, Dave Hakstol. It's been 3 years. Brock, they had to do something. Right. I mean, this year was bad. It was a huge step backwards. Matty Beniers, who's sort of their one big name kid, really took a major step back. He was not nearly as good this year as he had been in really the previous one or even in his little call up the year before that. Mm-hmm. And in addition to the problems they had on the ice, this is the year, right? This offseason where a lot of those initial tickets that people bought, those came in a 3-year package, they're expiring. And so if you were a season ticket holder and you were under the impression that they were just going to run it back again for next year, how good would you have felt about re-upping?
Yeah, my mind goes two ways amidst this conversation. The first is just a little historical context, and I don't know hockey. And I'm not going to pretend to know hockey the way that I know some of these other sports, but I do know Todd Leiwicki pretty well from the time that he was running the Seahawks and way back when, and we talked about Jim Mora and played some of that Jim Mora sound earlier, and it was a really tough deal and a bad look, and let Jim Mora have an end of year press conference knowing that we just can't do this. Mm-hmm. We can't move forward with this. There's just no way. And we're going to swing for the fences, and we're not going to just get some kind of middle of the road or rehabbed coach or, you know, someone that's been there. And we're going to go for it, and we're going to go all in. And doggone it, we got Paul Allen's money and power and authority and a beautiful stadium and great fans, and they deserve it. And we're going to fly down to L.A. clandestine style, and we're going to meet in the backyard of Peter Carroll, and we're going to get a deal done.
Yep.
And that's the way that Todd Leiwicki works. So there was – I just would have been very surprised with everything that you just mentioned, mm-hmm. with where they are in their – and their build, where the season ticket holders are, if he would have just ran it back with a team that did not progress and young players that did not progress. Secondly, today has been filled with two different themes. Developers, 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 developers. That's hour one.
Mm-hmm.
Hour two is process, 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 process. What is in either of those silos, where are the Kraken?
Well, I mean, I can't speak to their process. I know that they are obviously...
Speak to it, Michael.
Well, I
speak
can't.
To it.
I don't know enough
speak
about
life
it.
To it.
But I do know that they're as ingrained and interested in the analytical side of hockey as anybody in this league. So
okay.
I'm sure that's a big part of their process. What I think they've been missing is...
What are they? What is their team?
Like, yeah, what is their team? They don't have much of an identity.
Like,
that's
when
sure.
I look, even from afar, at yep. some of these different teams in hockey... Right. And obviously the Avalanche won the couple years ago. And you just look at speed and ferocity with mm-hmm. which they play. You look at Edmonton and the way they score and the free, like there is some sort of identity. And I'm not, mm-hmm. again, not going to pretend to know this league as you do or the great hockey
fans
do.
No, they don't have much of one.
What
is
it?
They're not a high flying finesse team. They're not a tight checking physical team. They don't seem to have much.
They're
of
just
that.
An in between team, and they were a 500 team.
Yeah. And you know, they took some steps back, obviously, as we said, in terms of some of the personnel decisions that they made this past year. You know, I think they are missing that. I think they're missing toughness and grit. They're missing some just sort of heart and energy in terms of, okay, who are they? As you said, some of that is built into identity.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it is just built into energy, I guess I would say. I don't want to say effort because I would never want to question anybody's effort. But they've never played with a tremendous amount of life and energy. And I think some of that, my personal feeling, stems from the fact that their coach didn't have a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Teams do tend to take on some of the personality of their head coach. And in this case, their head coach, while clearly a smart guy and a passionate guy, is very reserved, very, you know, buttoned up, close to the vest, whatever phrase you want to use for it. Hextall did not exactly inspire a tremendous amount of energy.
Can I ask a...
And I'd like to see somebody who does, not just for the teams, but for the fan base.
Dumb guy hockey question, because it seems like from all the hockey I've watched, that seems to looks like almost every coach is pretty laced up and not emotional and
they wear
not
suits.
As fiery.
There is an element of that that is true.
Okay.
But Hextall was particularly...
Okay.
Even for that, then pretty drab and droll, whatever phrase you want to use.
Another dumb guy question. You've mentioned, like, can the new coach get everything out of Matty Beniers, and the player list goes on.
Yeah.
But hockey teams don't have the same, and maybe they do, offensive, defensive coordinators, position coaches, and things that we hear about, at least. Like, so how much of that responsibility really goes to the head coach versus the rest of the staff?
Yeah, well, his next in line got fired, too. So obviously it wasn't just him that is part of that. It's a good question that I don't know that I could fully answer for you, Justin. All I know is I got a text here saying Maddie's going to be fine. Major step back is not close to accurate. Yeah, it is. He had 37 points this year and was a minus 20. He was not very good. His defense wasn't as good as it was the last couple of years. His offense wasn't as good. And it's not like he was playing on a fourth line. He was playing on a first line and an expectation into this season where he was starting to emerge and be one of the young stars. This is hockey. This isn't baseball. At his age, he can start having a little bit more success. And I'm not saying he's toast. I think there's still a lot of upside for Matty Beniers in a new system with a new coach, et cetera. But I don't want to hear that wasn't a step back. Yes, it was. He's a minus 20.
Can I give a little silver lining or an ode to Golden Tate's, a little silver skate in this situation? I don't normally, and especially when it's on the other side of it, the inverse side of it, I really don't like it when an interim coach is elevated and the locker room's like, keep this guy. We got to keep him. We're so emotionally attached with Ed Orgeron at USC. Or, you know, you got to just keep Mario Cristobal at Oregon. We love this guy. He should be the guy. When it's the inverse in this situation, where it's the veteran players,
players say they're done, you got it. That's it. I mean, that is the hockey version of what we saw that day that the Mariners got picked off at all three bases. Remember that?
With Lloyd.
With Lloyd. Like, hey, guys, we're done. The hockey players will just go straight. They're not going to do that on the ice, but they're just going to go straight to the GM. Be like, hey, we're not doing this.
And to me, I'd look at that as a positive. These veteran players care enough, right? And some of these, and I'm sure those 100%. Some of the guys that have been with the organization from the day it was expanded and want more. And in order to take that next step, we've got to have new leadership.
And they've got some options, right? We've talked about Dan Bylsma as being one. He's leading Coachella Valley and has done a good job in the A. He is. I believe a Stanley Cup winning coach when he was with Pittsburgh. He's been around the game for a long time, well-respected, highly regarded. So he's already in your organization.
How about Tortellini? He's been around eight places.
I think Torts has a job currently, unfortunately, because he would be fun. I mean, you want to talk
like
about galvanizing a fan base.
Every time.
As it should be.
Yes.
Torts is fun. There's a couple other options. Rod Brindamore's name will come up for sure. Rob the Bod is in Carolina right now, and he was a teammate of Ron Francis's. So he may be an option. Those are probably the two biggest names you'll hear, and we'll see what direction they go. But I think you're right. If I'm Todd Lywicki, I want to think real hard about making sure this gets done right, that you are finding a way to appease, energize, and get your fan base invested in what's going on and give them a reason for some hope that this season essentially took away. So, yes, I think Dan Bylsma might be a very good choice. Rob Brindamore would be, I don't know if I'd be as excited about that one, but I would understand it. We'll see what direction this goes. All right. Take a quick break. Come back with everything you need to know, including what it takes to win a walk-off next on Brock and Saul.
Washington residents get special discounts on tickets and memberships all throughout May. Plan your vacation today and see MoPOP's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Open now. Tickets at mopop.org/vacation.
Real estate transactions can feel intimidating, but at Tycor Title, we make it feel more like a visit to your favorite coffee shop. Seamless, satisfying, and efficient every time. Trust Tycor Title with your next real estate transaction. Go to mytycor.com.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to mariners.com/kidsclub to join.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Cantor Diamond, truly the best diamond prices, saving you big on your next special diamond. By appointment in our Tacoma showroom or globally by phone or email. CantorDiamond.com or on Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
A walk-off winner last night for the Mariners. It was supposed to be a pitching duel, and it sure looked that way for a long time. Both guys were phenomenal. For the Mariners, it was Bryce Miller, and he was certainly on his game. Tremendous, tremendous stuff. Talked about, Sky here, Scott, on the whole rotation, but specifically what we saw last night.
Yeah, and they were aggressive. They know the heater's coming. And as a hitter, you go up there and the other guys challenge you with the fastball, you're going to be swinging because everybody believes they can hit the fastball. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in this league. But it's, like I said, it's a unique fastball. The fact that he was able to keep his pitch count in check, I thought the double play he got early really helped, you know, move things along there. But, again, our starting pitching is really fun to watch. And, you know, there's so much that goes into it. I don't think people understand. They are super talented, and it starts with the guys on the hill. But, you know, our pitching coaches, the catcher, the game planning, the in-game adjustments that happen. You can have all the talent to throw as hard as you want. You got to be able to move the ball around and pitch to lineups, and our guys are doing a fantastic job with that night in and night out.
Ooh, I love that cut. Mm-hmm. You know, as he's speaking that, Salk, you know what I'm thinking last night? There was a great shot of Bryce and Logan. After Bryce was done with the seven innings and had given up the one little fluky run, and Cunha is so fast. Goodness gracious. but they were just talking, and you could just see, you know, there's just such a beautiful, healthy, competitive relationship amongst those guys in a great way, and friendship, right? And we talked about that in the spring. They all watch each other. They all learn from one another. It's exactly what you want. It's what the Rays had been for so many years. Certainly the Cardinals, Jeff mentioned them. It feels like maybe that Cardinal way that got a little bit too much hubris and, you know, did not evolve and equip. But, man, you know, when we were growing up, Salk, and you looked at the Braves and you looked at the Cardinals, and certainly over the last 20 years, look at the Rays and their development of pitchers. Mariners have it, and yep. These guys got a kinship, and they got a competitiveness, and they are rolling.
Well, and unfortunately, he doesn't get the win last night. It took a little longer for them to get the offense going, but finally, in the ninth, they did what they needed to do.
The stretch by Minter. Polanco a lead, and the lefties 3-2 on the way, swing and a fly ball deep to left field, and this one is goodbye baseball, a walk-off two-run home run for Mitch Garver.
It was important too that it was Garver. Like, it's one thing to get the win, it's another thing for the guy who's really been struggling to kind of get it going. In fact, he's never hit one of those before.
That was my first career walk-off in professional baseball, so walk-off home run. So that was pretty special for me. And in a time where things aren't going my way and I'm not feeling quite like myself, to be able to come through for the team in any way, shape, or form is like a huge W. So I was really happy for that.
I like the honesty there and kind of just the way he said, look, things aren't going my way right now.
Mm-hmm. What did he say to you when you asked him a question in the spring?
I forget. He's a unique interview, that's for sure. He's feisty.
What do you mean by that?
That's a weird question.
Yeah, that's what he said. I don't think it was that weird either. It was like kind of a normal question.
He played in the cold in Minnesota, and he's like, what a weird question to ask.
He's like, well, wait till you see what T-Mobile looks like in April. You're not going to think it's that weird at all. In fact, I wonder if we could revisit that with him right now, whether he would say the same thing. They get going tonight. Two more against the Braves, but a chance to win the series with Luis Castillo on the hill.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
The Kraken have decided to move on from their head coach. We just spent a while talking about it. Dave Hakstol was relieved of his duties yesterday. What direction do they go now? We'll see. Two top names that you'll probably hear. Rod Brind'Amour, who is having a contract. I think his contract is up right now in Carolina. We'll see what happens there. And then Dan Bylsma, who I believe won a cup with Pittsburgh and is currently the head coach at Coachella. Been around here with this organization now for a little while. So those will be two names to look at. I think there's also going to be some looking in the mirror for Ron Francis, because you got to do more with the roster than what they've done. Dave Hakstol wasn't the solution, but I don't know that he was the entirety of the problem either.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of resources in place, man. Amazing facility, amazing training facility, like money that is spent, resources that are given to make sure that you're one of the best of the best. And you're fighting for relevancy in this town. I mean, you're fighting with the Mariners. You're fighting with the Seahawks brand. You're fighting with the University of Washington and Jed Fish and the exposure that he's created and the program going to the national title game last year. You're fighting for relevancy. And after a season as disappointing as this last one is, probably shouldn't be a surprise. Coaching staff has made changes, too.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
We spent a little while here talking about some of the most recent draft picks for the Seahawks. I wrote about them, and maybe more in the context of what we should expect from this team this year. You can read that at seattlesports.com. What should we expect from their second pick in this draft? Christian Haynes, his head coach Jim Mora from last year, was on yesterday.
He was the unquestioned leader of our football team last year and even into the year before. And you know, he's a guy, when he says something, everyone reacts because he doesn't say a lot. And, you know, leadership's about your actions, not your words. And every action that he ever takes really represents what you're looking for as a football coach or an organization.
Yeah, so what he's saying is he likes him more. You know what? I'm not even going to go there.
Don't even go there.
Than Lindo Murray.
Two-time captain, just a tremendous player. I read off some of those next-level stats of one sack and 756 pass attempts, 15 pressures, and again, you're not surrounded with a lot of help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's on an island an awful lot and was unbelievably stout. You go back and watch some of that Senior Bowl tape, and you know, maybe Jim Nagy's a guy we can get on. I'll try to reach out to see if, and I know that everybody bothers him and wants a piece of him and everything else, but we chatted with him, I don't know, a month and a half before the draft, and now that the hay's in the barn, I know that he loved that guy in many of these Seahawk draft picks. So we'll see if we can get Jim from the Senior Bowl on to speak a little more into it. Mm-hmm. But had a big week there. Really established himself against the best competition. UConn wasn't always the best competition, but went toe-to-toe with the best and handled himself like a grown man. And as Wyman and Bob are saying on that promo, like, this guard position is going to be really, really competitive.
All right, that's everything you need to know. Can we have a serious conversation for a moment, the four of us?
I'm ready to go.
Can the four of us have a serious conversation for just a moment? Frank, I'd like your input on this as well. Frank's in
for more. That is a strange question.
Yes, thank you, Mitch. Frank's in here for more this week. And I'd like everybody's thoughts on this.
All right.
What in the world is going on with drivers in this town? I know that this has never been like the world's greatest driving community. What I've witnessed over the course of the last few months is out of control. On one drive home with Avery, I was driving her home from school, car in front of me, I watched stop at a green light and go through a red light. And that's like a daily occurrence.
Texting.
What in the world is happening? I was, no joke yesterday,
you know,
Brock.
You're going to invite.
Brock,
gonna invite
no joke yesterday. No joke. I was leaving here yesterday after the show. I drove up the hill up here to get onto, what is that, Roanoke? And there's a guy standing. I'm at a red light, first car in line. And there's a guy standing, a pedestrian, at the light looking to cross in front of me. Now, he's not going anywhere for some unknown reason because he's got the walk sign. But he's just standing there. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, I won't pay any more attention to him. He's just standing there. Maybe he's just hanging out. And he's not a degenerate. He's just some random dude. My light goes green. His light says, don't walk. He starts walking across the freaking crosswalk.
Mm, must be colorblind or something.
What in the world is happening? I had to jam on my brakes. I'm like, and he didn't even look at me. No, like, oh, hey, sorry about that. Just like, yeah. Well, now that you have the green light, it's my turn. What in the world is happening in this city?
He thought he was the driver in this scenario.
What is happening with the driver? I don't mean to be like Jerry Seinfeld here. Like, what's going on with the drivers? But like, what is going on? Is there something happening? What is it? Could somebody please tell me?
Textoy's going to have
Frank,
a lot of
what things. Is it?
Nothing. You got nothing.
He's uncomfortable.
You got nothing.
He's uncomfortable. And don't put him in that
psychopaths.
Position.
Psychopaths.
Psychopaths. Could be it. It could be psychopaths. I don't know. There's something going on, man. I don't know if it's in the water or if it's in something else that's legal here in this town these days. I don't know what the deal is, but you guys got to get it figured out because, like, you're a menace out there. Just pay attention to the rules of the road. That's all I'm asking. Like, green light go, red light stop. That should be not too much for all of us
to
handle.
Never played that game in kindergarten, I guess. Red light, green light.
Exactly.
Education these
days. That's all I'm talking about. All right, we'll come right back. It's Brock and Salk, Sales Sports on 710.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com. O'Brien.
Real estate transactions can feel intimidating, but at Tycor Title, we make it feel more like a visit to your favorite coffee shop. Seamless, satisfying, and efficient every time. Trust Tycor Title with your next real estate transaction. Go to mytycor.com.
The Museum of Pop Culture, Seattle's destination museum for music, film, fashion, and gaming, has savings just for Washington residents in May. See MoPop's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
At Cantor Diamond, we're fourth-generation diamond importers, saving you big on your diamonds. By appointment in our Tacoma office and globally by text and email, cantordiamond.com or on Instagram, K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
You got Luis Castillo tonight. That should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to get Emerson Hancock tomorrow. Feel pretty good about that. Then you're back to George Kirby and Logan Gilbert and Bryce Miller. And I remember these conversations, Brock, that I've always had with teams that I followed closely, where you say to your – when you get a good team, especially a team with a good rotation, you say to your friend, all right, hey, I can get tickets to one game out of the five. Who do you want to see? Who do you not want to see? Like, for years, for whatever reason, every time – I had two pitchers. Every time I ever went to a game as a fan, I saw either Hideo Nomo or Tim Wakefield pitch for, like, 5 years. I could not see anybody else pitch. If I went to a game, one of those two guys is going to pitch. And, you know, it just sort of became the norm. You look at this team, and, all right, Emerson Hancock's sort of the clear five. Yep. But after that, if you're like, hey, I'm going to a game right now, who do you want to go see pitch? Who would you be most excited about? And, by the way, when you put Brian Wu back into this rotation – I don't know that it gets even harder to make that decision.
Yeah, Kirby is fun because he's demonstrative. He's angry. He's furious. George Logan is fun, as they talked about this week, of just the wrath and just the moving parts.
The sheer number of pitches that he's throwing at this point.
I mean, Bryce is.
You know what Logan kind of is starting to remind me of? I know you want to keep going through these. He kind of reminding me of, like, the tall, you know, lanky version of some of the Japanese pitchers that we've seen who throw a ton of different pitches. What's his name? Who's with Texas for Yu Darvish is the example. Remember Yu Darvish throw like 9 different pitches?
He's a big guy too now.
He is. He doesn't have quite the lankiness, obviously, in the long arms. But I wonder if that's kind of an interesting comp for Logan Gilbert. No, they're not exactly the same. But it just felt like every year he'd be like, yeah, I got 9 new pitches. I'm like, okay, great. That seems to sort of be where Logan's at.
And I think that is some of this pitch development, right, for Kirby and for Logan is – I don't want to just be a twice through the order kind of guy, you know, and you'll hear Blowers talk about this in last night in a pitching duel. And I like the way, excuse me, Passan characterized that. What's a pitching duel? When you see elite stuff and these guys got elite stuff that makes batters and even an elite lineup like Atlanta just look frail and timid now you're dealing with just kind of elite stuff. But you know, you heard Blowers talking about Freed, like, well, a lot of fastball. Okay, he's probably going to feature the change the second time through. Like, you're just giving these batters a totally different dimension. And when you've got 4 and 5 pitches, as Logan does, compared to when he came in, a different animal. You know, Bryce last year was a twice-through-the-order kind of guy with a fastball, slider, and – you know, because by the third time through, those numbers are pretty telling. Well, now you throw a splitter into it, and all of a sudden it becomes a little different animal. So I think these pitchers adapting, George Kirby doing the same. Like, I'm not just going to be a twice through the rotation six inning guy. Let me get through that order three times, and all of a sudden I can be a seven-plus inning difference maker.
I'll tell you what, Brock, I think that's a really astute point, seriously. And I think it speaks to one of the frustrations I have always had with not numbers in general or analytics in general, because I think there's tremendous amount of value. So this is not like an old man rant about analytics. But the one thing I've always been a little skeptical of, maybe is the right word, is projections. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think, especially with pitchers, but in general, I don't think projections take into account adjustments. And they don't take into account all these conversations we have in the offseason about adding new pitches, changing new pitches, changing your tunneling, all the work that these guys do to try to get better. And some are better at it than others.
And then play cut seven. And then Scott Servais takes you a step further, not just like in the offseason, the development of it and the process of it, but how about just the in game of it, as Scott said last night?
Yeah, and they were aggressive. They know the heater's coming. And as a hitter, you go up there and the old guys challenge you with the fastball, you're going to be swinging because everybody believes they can hit the fastball. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in this league. But it's like I said, it's a unique fastball. The fact that he was able to keep his pitch count in check, I thought the double play he got early really helped, you know, move things along there. But again, our starting pitching is really fun to watch. And, you know, there's so much that goes into it. I don't think people understand. They are super talented, and it starts with the guys on the hill. But, you know, our pitching coaches, the catcher, the game planning, the in-game adjustments that happen. You can have all the talent to throw as hard as you want. You got to be able to move the ball around and pitch to lineups, and our guys are doing a fantastic job with that night in and night out.
I had a really, like, cool, enlightening little aha moment that was just fun, and it was Little League Baseball. And this is even a couple years ago, I think, when Titus was playing 12U. But my neighbor across the street was a minor league catcher, got all the way up to AA, and actually Scott Servais was a real mentor to him. And I believe the catching coach at the time with the Rockies or whatever organization, Texas, whatever organization my buddy Hunter was involved in. So, and would come back and train in Colorado where Scott lived. And, you know, was just a great guy. And Hunter could not speak more highly of him, just loved him. But we're watching this little 12U game and watching Titus pitch, and Hunter, the former double A catcher, is like, okay, this next one's got to be outside. Okay, this next one, you got to come inside. Okay, this next one's got to be up. I'm like, what exactly are you? He's like, well, just look at their feet. I mean, just look at the swing path. Well, just look at the late. He's right. Just the you know, the Cal Raleigh engagement in this as well.
That's my Bill Hasselman conversation that I've had before with you, right?
Where I sat
with Bill in the Diamond Club years ago, and he called 25 straight pitches.
Yes.
It's like, what? He's like, slider it. Like, I guess, and same Brzezinski, thing, Brock. He mentioned the feet.
Yes, Brzezinski was a former catcher, right? Mm-hmm. So he does it for Fox. I'm surprised more catchers aren't better analysts or more proliferated. Right? Maybe they are. I don't know all 30 teams.
Most of them are silent. They don't want to talk.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of very quiet catchers.
Okay. Well, they take an absolute beating. So
right. They've got nothing left to say.
They're just
Wilson does a great job. I mean, he's another example.
He does.
Dave Valle. I mean, I would say there's a lot of catchers that do a pretty good job of that.
There are. Because they just see the game with every single swing.
If my memory is right, I think Tim McCarver was a catcher.
Okay, all right. So flush that thought. Good. I'm glad. I'm just thinking of Smoltz. I'm thinking about some of the other prominent guys and some of the personality guys. Because you're right, catchers also tend to be kind of the servant-hearted group. They tend to take the beating. They take the, you know, they just are in survival mode. But don't tell me Cal doesn't play a role in this either.
Of course he does.
The relationship is a young guy that he has with these young players, that they've all come up together. All the things that we've always sung the virtues of, and just, oh, wouldn't it be great if you build that young core? And it just means a little bit more. And the friendship that he has, the fun that he has with Walter. I mean, just, it's all good stuff, and it plays into this historic run they're on.
And it leads into this conversation about sustainability, right? I got a texter saying, I'm sorry, I just don't think this is sustainable. They're not scoring any runs. Winning this way is not sustainable. The hitting is killing me. I get it.
Yep.
I guess what I would say to that, and I don't know whether they're going to sustain the pace that they're on right now. As I've said, I got a lot of questions still about this roster and the way it's put together and what it's capable of doing long term. I have not been high man rah rah on this Mariner team this year.
Mm-mm.
But as I look at them playing right now, and I think they're playing some really exceptional baseball, I see what we're seeing from the pitching. It's not going to be like this all year long, obviously. But I don't see anybody on this staff doing anything beyond what they're capable of. They're just doing it consistently. Mm-hmm. Nobody on this
staff. Out of their skis, yeah.
Right? No one's like, oh, man, there's no chance you're going to keep seeing that from him. He was never projected to do this. Like, really? Luis Castillo's been a dominant force in the game for years. The other four guys are all first-round picks. I mean, like, this isn't like out of the blue. This guy came out of nowhere and the league's going to figure them out. George Kirby, Logan Gilbert. Bryce Miller wasn't a first-round pick, excuse me, but he's been exceptional. Okay, maybe that would be one where you say, okay, I don't know whether he can sustain it, but he's been doing it now for a year. Mm-hmm. So I don't see anything unsustainability there.
Well, it's just the health. I mean, that is the unsustainable. I mean, just the numbers will tell you over the years.
Lucky for them, they've got one more guy who fits right into this category. And, oh, by the way, they've actually seen some decent stuff from Keuchel and some of the other guys in the minors. So I'm not telling you that they're going to pitch like this the rest of the year. They're probably not. But I would say that the room for growth in the offense department, where a few of their guys just aren't hitting, Garver and Polanco, obviously they were heroes last night. Julio, who's just not at his normal level.
Rayleigh.
Right? Rayleigh, who's not really done much of anything yet. Ken Zonsmeyer. I think that there is more potential in their hitting than there is likely drop-off in their pitching. And I'm just looking at sort of career norms. And I guess I put those two things together and say, oh, and by the way, the weather's been lousy, which has certainly been affecting the offense and helping the pitching as well. I don't know that what you're seeing right now is what we're going to see for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. Well, offensively?
Yeah.
No.
Or in general. Like,
I don't think you're going to be 26th in runs scored. I don't think you're going to be in the bottom five in average OPS, all these numbers that right now through, 30 games that you're sitting there. You know, the strikeout rate is still extraordinarily high, and that's got to be the one that's a little frustrating, a little challenging for Brent Brown and for Scott, because that was some of the impetus of this offseason, right? To be more contact, to not be sitting there at, I think it's 28% strikeout rate, highest or second highest in Major League. Like, that's going to and has to clean up a little bit. And the power, ultimately, is also got to come. You said this yesterday, Salk. Polanco, Garver, and Julio. Right. I mean, if you're going to do this and win this division and if you pitch like this and just get middle of the road hitting, you're going to win this division. I'll say that April 30th. Right. With this kind of pitching staff and this kind of depth and this kind of bullpen and everything else. And oh, by the way, some great defense that has largely complemented that or above average defense. Just be middle of the road. Just be 15.
I think they will be, honestly. I think that's where they will probably find their mode. I don't think they're going to be in elite offense. I've never really felt that way about it. I think they took too many home runs out of their lineup, and I'm not sure that they replaced them. So I don't think they're going to be in elite offense. And they've shown through the first month that that looks unlikely. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're this bad on offense either. And I think they are probably, as you said, somewhere in the, let's call it 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 range.
Yep.
Okay. Well, in order to get there, you're going to have some pretty good months, and I think that they will as the weather heats up, and we've seen that before. Each of the last few years, we've seen the offense improve as the season goes on, and I think the pitching, again, is more sustainable than the problems they're having hitting. So I like their chances moving forward. I like what they're doing. They're going to have to, actually do it, but kind of exciting, man. It's been kind of a fun
kind of
start
exciting.
To this year.
You're leading the West.
Yeah.
Three number one pitchers.
You have a chance to win 17 games here. I think in the annals of Mariners history, their best month, like in 01 or whatever, was 19. So one of the better months of April in the history of the team. You go out and find a win today, even at 16. You're still one of the 10 best seasons that you've had from a win total. So your pitching has been out of this world. Your playmaking in some clutch moments has been awesome. Winning close games, which was their standard the last few years before.
It's starting to come back a little bit this year as well.
Yes.
360 says, same thing was said last year. And while it was correct, it wasn't enough. It still won't be. Well, they dug themselves a much bigger hole last year, too. I mean, they haven't dug a hole this year. They're in first place.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't know that I see it the same way. I do think the offense will improve. I don't think that the weather's an excuse. I think it's just the norm in baseball. And as teams find better weather, the ball travels farther and faster, and their offensive numbers tend to rise. So I think that they're going to be okay. I don't know whether they're going to be an elite offense. That would surprise me. But I think Julio's going to be better than this. I think Polanco and Garver are better than they've shown so far. And I think they'll be all right. Doesn't mean they're going to be great, but I think they'll end up being all right. So fun. Luis Castillo tonight looking for another series win. That would be five in a row, and they're doing it against some pretty good teams. Certainly Atlanta's about as good as it gets in this league right now. Let's rank.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
All right, no music today. We're still sort of in draft review mode, Brock. So now it's also sort of looking ahead, right? Because now your roster's not set, but you got a pretty good idea of who's going to be on this team. Wrote about that last night at seattlesports.com, trying to click through some or think through some expectations and what's reasonable now for this coach, this team, this general manager, etc. You can find that at seattlesports.com or on our app. But Justin suggested today, Brock, that we look through the top five position battles that you might expect heading into camp. Now, some of them are probably not, you know, great. Like, there's not really a major position battle at wide receiver. Kicker. Certainly not for the first three guys.
Punter.
Kicker and punter, long snapper seem to be pretty well set.
Honorable mentions, though, you know.
I'm still mentioning that
thing.
They exist.
Good thing we do that.
Tight end, I think we got a pretty good idea of what that's going to look like, right?
The Pharaoh and the Noah.
Yeah, and then you're going to have your fourth round pick. And so, all right, there's your three tight ends. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, you know, tackle. Reasonably set, right? You know who your starting left and right tackles are, and you know who your swing tackle is going to be in George Fant. So you get a pretty good sense there. Safety, pretty good sense. So I do have running back. I think, again, not much of a position battle there right now until Rashad Penny
shows up, comes in the door
and
down.
Wins the job. So
you didn't like my little tweet I sent you. I didn't get a response.
You're being mean-spirited.
What? I didn't get any little
You're
response.
You're being mean-spirited about Rashad's body, and I'm not going to participate in the shaming.
A lot of tweets out there about Zeke Elliott being back with Dallas.
Those were mean and very funny.
Those were really mean. Very mean.
What did I see? Was it Jeff, what's his name? The old lineman, Jeff Schwartz, said, let me rewrite the headline. Cowboys go to work to help their offensive line. It's like, oh, that's not right. Top five position battles. Are you ready, Brock? Number five. This one is going to be a little bit of a stretch, but I'm going to go there anyway. Quarterback. Is it really a position battle? Probably not. There's probably nothing Sam Howell can do to win the job outright in training camp. But is he battling to show that he is an NFL starter? Yes. Should he be treating it that way? Absolutely. And will the leash be a little bit shorter this year on your starting quarterback, given that the guy behind him has, what, 18 starts over the last 2 years? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would think it probably will.
And I know our buddy Matt Miller can say what he said, and every scout and analyst entitled to their opinion. And he had a high grade on Spencer Rattler, a higher grade on Spencer than Sam Howell, but really the league didn't. I mean, six That's QBs sure. were drafted, and then no second, no third, no fourth. He didn't go till the fifth round.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Sam ended up in the fifth round after just a huge fall from being a top 10 pick, presumed before the season began, but... Yeah, I think you see why they made a trade. They were not interested in
Tua's brother gonna
please
no
let's talk about
we're just gonna move on. You don't like that?
Yeah, Talia's been hard for me. Okay. Every game I do with this.
Oh really? You've done a bunch at Maryland.
Just builds you up to throw a pick.
Oh, that's
builds
tough.
Builds you up to throw a
yeah,
pick.
You don't need that. Yeah. All right, so number five is quarterback. Number four, offensive guard. You know, they let some guys go here in the offseason. They drafted two guards.
This is number four?
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, number four.
Wow.
Number four for
curious
me.
Curious what you got in the middle.
Just wait. Just you're going to have to stay tuned.
Wow.
Number four is guard. It's going to be a battle. But it's also guard. I mean, like, you know, it's not like I'm going to be able to tell who's playing better.
Watch your mouth. It's just a guard?
I didn't say that.
20 years ago, you could say it's just a guard.
Yeah. It's very important.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's not important. It's just sort of hard to judge.
Golly.
You got two draft picks. You got Anthony Bradford.
Who are you to diminish guards?
I would never.
It's just a guard.
Not diminishing guards. I wanted them to take guards.
Just a marketing girl.
When it's all said and done, that's really funny. Who would you say are the likely starters day one at guard?
Lakin Tomlinson is a likely starter. And then I think Christian Ayton's going to be a likely starter.
Yeah. So you think Bradford is back to the backup role and maybe battling with the kid from Utah?
I will be real curious what kind of shape Mr. Bradford's
in. I'd want to be real slim if I were him.
Yep. Yeah,
call Eastside Weight Loss Clinic, buddy. That seems like a good start for your offseason. So, yeah, number four is guard. Number three, outside linebacker slash edge. And, you know, I feel very confident that Chen is going to be on one side, but... You know, what does the competition look like? Is Daryl Taylor going to find a way back onto this roster? Is Boye Mafe going to be the guy to finally take that step with a new coaching staff? Is Derek Hall worth anything after a really disappointing first year and a lot of hype that went into it? I was as excited as anybody. KJ thought he was going to be Defensive Rookie of the Year. What does it look like at that position? Are one or two of those guys going to step? They did not go there in the draft. Nope. Will Draymond Jones... Will we find him more on the outside playing some of that role?
I'm very interested. That is a place in this defense that's real, real critical. That's a place where Van Noy and Clowney had a resurgence of their careers last year. That's a place where there are a couple street free agents still out there, veteran guys that have, you know, put up some production in the past. And that is a place where you need to get the most, Salk, out of some pretty high capital, right? Second round. All three of those guys, Taylor, Mafe, and Derek Hall, some premium draft stock invested in them.
All right. So number three for me is what you're doing on the edge.
Just a guard.
Number two is defensive tackle, just because you got so many people, right? It's going to be Jaron Reed. You just drafted somebody with the number 16 pick. It's Hankins. It's Draymond Jones if he ends up being in that spot.
Big Cat.
It's the Big Cat, Leonard Williams. You spent a lot of money here.
Himself.
So there are a lot of dudes up there. And oh, by the way, you did have two other draft picks from last year that I'm at least curious about. And that's Cam Young, who didn't get on the field much, and Mike Morris, who got hurt right away. So what does that look like at defensive tackle?
Yep. And those two guys kind of fighting for their careers, I think, quite honestly. With you know, like we'll see Mike Morris. Does he try to be an edge? A little bit of what he was at Michigan at like 270, 265.
He's got to know McDonald as well as anybody, right? Didn't he actually play for him?
He did. And he played a little bit more on the edge than he did in the interior. So there's going to be some eye test here once these OTAs begin of the Bradfords, of some of these. Mike's one of those guys. Like, okay, new staff, new regime. What are they asking of you? You know, what do they want to see of you over the last couple months as you come into these OTAs and minicamp season? I mean, but that's a good competition. Like, that's a great.
I just said position battles. I didn't say they were all bad. Who said they were bad?
You want five guys eating at the table. You want guys. Well, sometimes competition's like, eh.
This is why I get a bad reputation.
What?
I'm talking about something awesome, and you're like, oh, it's
no,
not
you
to
say
be bad.
So, you say stupid bad. Stuff like just a guard.
Oh, please.
Goodness.
I didn't say that.
Just a hamstring.
I didn't say that.
That is a strange question.
Thanks, Mitch. Number one for me is cornerback, Brock. Other than the one guy I think we know about, that being Devin Witherspoon, I don't really know who else is going to be playing cornerback for this team.
And by the way, I've heard some real rumblings. I've heard enough noise around there that Devin's going to be a nickel. He's too valuable in and around the line of scrimmage and all their blitzing and all their coveraging and all. Like, if line of scrimmage matters,
okay,
the nickel around the line of scrimmage matters.
So who starts outside today?
Yes.
What do you mean, yes? If your season starts tomorrow, who is it?
Well, I would think it'd be Woolen.
Yeah.
And then Thriller?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Brown?
Mm-hmm. Nehemiah Pritchett?
I got to imagine that you're going to try to do what you wanted to do last year, where Witherspoon is outside in a, you know, two cornerback situation and then moves inside when you move to nickel?
Mm-hmm.
But...
You know how long it took Nehemiah to build up the Temple Wall again? 52 days.
I'm going
to
guess a while.
So Nehemiah Pritchett, you got 52 days. Go win that starting job.
Developers. We got to go. Four words. It's Brock and Salk in the hay.
Barn.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.